We got the music back. That a boy. We've got the music back. By the way, gentlemen, we got to talk into the mics. I listened to last week's show, and I wasn't very good at it. So help me out. Make sure we get on each other's back. There you go. And talk into the mics more. Thank you, my friend. Yeah. Stu Mahia. I love the music. Joe Giuliano's back. The Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks for listening, my folks, my friends. Sam's here, Mark's here, Brandon's here, Super Stru's here. And we got a hell of a show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for coming and listening to the Four Outdoors. What's going on with you guys?
Real quick, Brandon, what was that last song?
That last song was Ted Heinishevitz, and it was called Your Face, My Day.
That was an awesome song. I wish we had a live stream there because we were all bebopping.
There was dancing happening. I saw Mark Lukey busting a move over there in the Studio B.
So Ted's the young man who was just here on your show, right?
Correct.
Right there. Yeah, I'll tell you what. There. Hey, Ted, I told you this. I never met this guy. I never heard of this guy, but that's what the Homegrown Show is all about. And he's really good. And I says, you know what? You remind me of Chris Hockey. And I'm trying to think of the guy who did the Taste of Minnesota all the time. He's been around forever. Mick Sterling, a little bit about like
Mick Sterling,
a little bit like Mick Sterling. Boy, I tell you what, this guy is fun. I'll follow you, pal. Come to the East Metro sometime, will you?
Will you come to the East Metro sometime?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, he
all
says.
Right. Yeah. All right.
You play at a place called Strewman's Iron Garceau Lane. Boy, I tell you, to stop by there. Hey, I'll tell you what, it's been a busy week. Got a busy week coming up. You did a little bit of deer hunting. You broke the law because you were deer hunting. No, you were with your. Who were you with, your niece or somebody?
Yep, this weekend was a Minnesota youth opener.
That's
so
cool.
My niece, Grace, on my wife's side, she's an animal lover, you know, so hunting hasn't been her thing until she tried her grandpa's bear jerky and found out it was bear, and then she found out, you know, hunting isn't just about the kill, it's providing meat for your family, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I took her shooting about a month and a half ago, and she loved it, and she goes, I do want to try hunting. So we went and sat a couple afternoons, had some does come in. But
and she blasted one.
No, she wanted to shoot a boy, is what she said. So we didn't have any bucks come in. Of course,
Wait a minute. This is her first deer. What's wrong with the doe?
So
what did she say? Come on, man.
Yeah, let's just say on Friday night, she really like contemplated shooting this doe that was in front of us. And then she goes, like, it's really cute. And she goes, what if we don't see anything? And it was early. And I told her, I was like, we'll probably see more. And I have a lot of pictures of bucks coming and going. But, you know, you can't predict them. And,
yeah.
But I tell you what, it's cold right now and they're moving right now.
What was she using? I don't care what she was using, but is she big? She's 12 or so, right?
She's 10.
Okay, really? And you don't have to have a license, right, at that age?
She has to have the youth license, which it's $1.
Okay.
And then she just has to be with, like, a licensed adult.
Kids have all the luck.
Yes, they do.
Only $1? Come on.
Yeah, right. $1, yeah. But she can only do that until she's 12, then she has to go through firearm safety and all that. So, yeah, it was pretty cool just to get her out, you know, and experience it, of course.
How long is the season? Is it a week? Or?
No, it was from Thursday to today.
Oh, cool.
Now, was she capable of picking up the rifle or shotgun, or does she have some kind of a something
on? I had it in a the firearm in a tripod with a clamp on top, so it just stood there, and then she could kind of just swivel it around, so she didn't have to bear the weight of the firearm.
I'd never seen that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool because, like I said, the weight is all put on the tripod, so all she has to worry about is aiming.
Which is good, and you know, for a good clean kill.
Yeah, I mean, because especially with a 10-year-old, she's not going to hold like a 7 or 8 pound, you know, gun up and then put it on accurately. But she learned hunting with Uncle Sam was more about the snacks than the kill.
So. It's like fishing with my son Max. Yeah, it's all about the snacks.
And
man.
Sam had some extra snacks left over from his baiting his bear.
Gummy bears.
Two-year-old
gummy bears.
We were going hunting. She goes, "Are we baiting bear or deer hunting?" I was like, "Oh, we're deer hunting." Yeah, I kept bringing it out. I was like, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? And at one point she goes, how many snacks did you bring? I said, enough to keep us both not hungry.
Hey, Diane and I had a good time yesterday. We went to, it's been a real, real busy week for us, and it's going to be busier this next week, and I'll tell you that story second. But we had a chance to go to down the St. Croix, Mississippi River with Brian Clawitter. I used to call him the Catfish King because he was a catfish and sturgeon guide for a long, long time. But he kind of is changing tunes, and now he has a big, beautiful boat. Two bathrooms, two beds, everything. And took us down the Mississippi River on the Red Wing Eagle Tour. And a beautiful day. It wasn't bad at all. We had all the windows open and cruising down looking at eagles. And he's telling us all the history of the river and all that down there.
That's cool.
That was a wonderful day. Yeah.
So are the bathrooms and the bedrooms below?
Yes.
So did you ask him how shallow water he can go in?
No. Should I have?
I just I was curious on those big bolts if they have to be super cautious about.
Obviously, oh no! I thought you meant how deep he the water has to be for him to go to the bathroom. That's what it sounded like you were saying.
Oh no! Like that for the big bolt.
Oh
like,
yeah! No! It's yeah.
Like how shallow of water can he go?
The channel is he can go I don't know 3-4 feet or something like that.
Oh,
but
wow.
The channel. He told me all about the buoys and markers and all of that, and the channel where they go is 9 feet. They make sure that they've got 9 feet the entire way until they get out to the big waters and all of that. But you wouldn't believe, like, we got down to Lake Pepin, and part of the river is probably 300 feet wide easily, and 150 to 200 feet of that along is 2, 3, 4 feet deep. And there's there's so much, the water keeps moving that sand back and forth and all of that. So every year they have to recheck the channels to make sure you got 9 feet of water for those big boats to come through. But it
was
really a great, great deal. So
did you just cruise? Did you go fast at all? Or
no,
just kind of set her low
cruised.
And cruise?
We just cruised.
That's fun, though.
Yeah. And had a great time and learned all about the river. And thanks to Brian and Deb Clawitter. His company's called Brian K.
All right.
Brian K's World. Brian K's World, the Red Wing Eagle Tour.
So I loved his Ham's Beer hat.
He's as cool. He wants one of our shirts.
We'll hook him up.
Yeah, the Four Outdoorsman pulleys. But yeah, he's a ham and spam.
So he
guy.
Was in your video for today. He gave a shout out to somebody.
Rob Drieslein, who's going to be our first guest, News president and I think editor or something like that. But he's going to be our first guest.
Did you see any eagles?
A lot of eagles. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
And
turnaround eagles have made in the last 30 years.
They're crazy.
They're all over the place. They're
said at the right time seagulls. Of the year, you know, that water stays open the entire year. So you can it's down just right across from Red Wing. You can see the entire town right across the river from a place called Harbor Bar where we were. And you can see the entire town. But he keeps his boat in all year long there because it never freezes there. But up, and when you get into early spring, you'll see 300 to 400 eagles in that same general area when they're all coming back and having a good time. He said it's just crazy.
That is crazy. Like you said, you do see them. You probably see them as much as you see, like, hawks now. Like,
yeah,
you
they're
see
all over the
everywhere.
Place.
Yeah. And
I think it's all because of some sort of pesticide they banned that used to
DDT was what it was called.
The shells
yeah.
or something like
DDT.
That?
DDT. I don't know what it was, but that's what it was called.
A success story
I think
for
so.
Conservation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then pretty soon there'll be a season. You know, just like
big drumsticks.
They're just like geese right now. Geese are all over. Pretty soon we'll be chasing the eagles off of our front yard, you know. Yeah. But I got to tell you this as well. My wife, Diane, and I, we were down in Laughlin a number of years ago. And so you're on their mailing list, Riverside and all of that. And so every time they got something going on, they give you a call or text you or email you something. So about 3 weeks ago, I bit. I said, all right, you got me. What's the special deal today? So they said, well, we're trying to fill up a plane and 180 people to go to Riverside, Laughlin for 4 days and three nights. And the dates are, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Well, how much? Flight, round trip of Sun Country. All right? One way.
Are you sitting in a chicken crate?
No. You got your own seat right on the wing. But anyway, and the transfers to and from, the transportation to and from the airport in Bullhead City, I think is where it is. 4 days, three nights, the hotel, transportation, $30 apiece.
No.
We're going our bill, we checked our credit card, $67.
Is that the deposit? I bet
no.
you got something.
I'm going to find out, aren't
that
I?
Five easy payments of $30.
They used to have deals where you had to guarantee to gamble $100 a day or something.
They were called junkets. Yeah,
yeah,
I've been on a couple of those.
You don't have to do that?
No.
You would have been on a couple of junkets.
I was on a couple of junkets. What you had to do back then is give them 100, I think it was only 100 bucks back then, and they would give you $100 in chips before you got on the airplane. And you could keep them in your pocket for 3 days if you wanted to, and you cash them when you get. But they know if you're going to put $100 worth of chips in your pocket, you are going to spend those $100. They don't do those junkets anymore as far as I know. But this is $70 round trip, 4 days, three nights, and I can't wait.
Where is it going?
The Laughlin, Nevada. It's a nice hotel. I've been there. The guy who started all of Laughlin, Nevada, his name is Laughlin by coincidence. He's from the Twins, from Invergrove Heights or something like that, and he's still alive.
Did you ever see the movie Vegas Vacation?
Oh, sure.
Where you go to a casino and they have, like, pick a hand.
Yeah.
They have all those games in Laughlin.
Like, I don't know. They have a lot of bingo. All these people are old people. They got a lot of bingo.
What Stu doesn't know, he just signed up for 4 days of seminars. He's going to 4 days of AA meetings and all straight seminars.
Do you want to learn about our timeshare?
Yeah. If you sit here, you can get 4 extra 100 points.
And all the oatmeal for free. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey,
that's why you signed up. They're giving free oatmeal.
Free oatmeal, yeah, that's me, yeah.
He'll eat it dry or
raisins and brown sugar. Since this is an outdoor show, I'll tell you that I went golfing with my buddies, Mark and
I
got all the stories right, but the facts are wrong. Dan Boras, Wade Ryan, and Bob Krejci. And Bob Krejci and I were playing $5 a hole against those two guys.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. How'd that go?
$5 a hole, and we were up, after nine holes, $10. I won the first two holes with my shots completely, so I'm thinking, we're home free. And then after we lost the 10th hole, then on the 11th hole, Bob says, don't worry, man, we're five up. We're home free. We can't lose now. We lost, ended up, after 16 holes, we're down $20, right? And Wade Ryan knew all about this trip Diane and I were taking. He says, well, I can't wait to win the 17th and 18th holes. I'm going to Laughlin with you guys, he said. So Wade Ryan was being in it. We lost $20 to
him. So that was, you were telling me you and Bob went straight up, but you switched every six holes.
Yeah, every six holes. The first six holes was match play. Second hole was a scramble. And the third six was rotate shots, alternate shots. And we didn't do well. But it was still fun being outside. But it was a great, great, great day.
Mark, what did you do this week, man?
I went to my in-laws' farm in Butterfield, Minnesota, and I helped my father-in-law clear out a grove, probably about, 40 elm trees they had taken down. So I worked like my butt off out there and cut wood for my father-in-law and had Nick shoot a bow. And,
how'd that go?
It went good. He's learning well, so he wants to get a real bow for himself and did all sorts of stuff. And I want to give a shout-out to my godson and nephew. Today was his confirmation, Noah Cernaski. So I was in church this morning, and it was a proud moment to be there.
Yeah. Is that how you were moving all the trees? Is that how you got the Band-Aid on your finger?
No, I got the Band-Aid because, this is a good story, my father-in-law has a single-barrel 12-gauge shotgun. And I looked at it. I used to have a single 410, so it looked like that kind of, but...
And he made it in metal shop in 1946.
So I looked on the side and it said Wards, right?
Montgomery Wards, yeah.
And then that kind of clicked the catalog in the 40s. So we figured out it was his father's from the 40s. He also gave me a box of shells that was probably the first plastic shells they ever made.
Ask if they were paper.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be paper. But anyway, so I said I'm going to try to shoot this gun. And first shot just blasted my shoulder, and the trigger guard cut my finger, sliced my finger open. It was fun, but it was not the funnest. It wasn't the best gun to shoot. It was not comfortable shooting. So
it's not a gun that you're going to let Nick shoot first, right? He's not.
It's a great gun for a mantle, I think. You know what I mean?
Were you nervous pulling the trigger?
Yeah, because you never know. I mean, the gun is, 70, 80 years old. You never
close your eyes.
Plus... Here's a gun safety tip, and when you're shooting a gun that's that old, you don't know if they're calibrated for modern, modern shells. You know what I mean? So that first time I kind of,
Did you break the action open and look in the barrel first?
I did, yep.
Okay, good.
Needs a good cleaning, so I'm going to do that.
I can see the fragmented barrel with black smoke on your face. Yeah, charged
it was
like
a cartoon.
And he looks back, did I get it? That's hilarious.
So we had a lot of fun on the farm. It was great getting the boys out, riding tractors, and getting away from TVs for a weekend, getting a little work done.
Hey, one more little story about the Eagle Tour with Brian Clawwater. Diane and I thought, we're going to go down to Red Wing, and we took him out for dinner, had a great time. I said, let's stay at a hotel down here. And so we got online, and I see Treasure Island Hotel for $85 or something, one of those short deal kind of things. And I called him up. I did the online. Cool. The bill comes, and it's $135. I said, I called Treasure Island down. I said, wait a minute, this is not right. I'm on your site, and it says this much, and they charge me $135, maybe $140. Lady says, we haven't had a room under $140 in years, something like that, whatever it was, So she said... So as you're checking all of the confirmation numbers and whatnot, are you sure you didn't call Treasure Island in Las Vegas? So I check, and it's Treasure Island in Las Vegas. I got a room in Las Vegas last night, and I can't use the damn thing. So I called this back to the third party, go to Treasure Island Casino. It took me an hour and a half, but they eventually canceled it. I said, I just made it an hour ago. I made a mistake. I'm not there.
Did you stay down there in Red Wing?
No, we boogied home. We would have. Here's how cheap I am. So we had a few cocktails, and I was fine and all that. But we stopped at a hotel, and it was $160. I'm only 35 minutes from home. I said, really? I said, oh, here's Diana's fault. She goes, well, this says $85. They said, that's in Hastings. That's not our hotel, the same hotel, same branch. And why is that one $85 and you're $160? We don't know. They're all Fran, whatever they are, that kind of stuff. So we decided to drive home. So now I got $160 to spend in Laughlin. Go ahead,
that kind of reminds me when we went to Devil's Lake and you went online to buy a fishing license for Devil's Lake. Drew spent $40 on a guide to tell you how to buy a fishing license
in
for
Florida.
Nevada.
In Florida.
Yeah,
it was in Florida.
Yeah, the how-to
so,
book.
Yeah. So they sent him
all the rules and regulations of Florida hunting.
So they sent him a PDF, you know, for his $40. I'm like, Drew, man, this is not a license.
Yeah, but I know every rule and regulation of hunting in Florida.
My license is 167 PDF file.
Hey, who do we have for guests tonight, buddy?
Well, our first guest is Rob Driesline, managing editor of the Outdoor News. He's going to talk about a bunch of things, like a new bill proposal from Colin Peterson, couple other things, and then we have a really great story. Drew, tell us about that one.
Eric Misch is going to be our second guest. He's with Spare Key Organization. It's a nonprofit that raises a lot of money to help people who are financially in trouble as a result of medical issues. And he thought, you know, because of the pandemic, it's slowing everything down. They can't raise money. No one's got extra money to do it. So how do we make awareness of Spare Key? He gets himself a little raft. It looks like a fish house on pontoons. And he goes from the Twin City area, I think he lives in Invergrove Heights, down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, someplace like that, 1,800 miles.
Huck Finn style.
Huck Finn style, and I'm telling you, and he's been writing an article every week for about the last 2 months in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and he's gone through a whole lot. This is not exactly what this man anticipated, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Should be a lot of fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I actually went to high school. I went to a really small high school, and one of my good buddies, him and his older brother, they did that. They started at the north part of the Mississippi and went all the way down, and it took them like 30-some days, but they did it in canoes. But yeah, that's crazy. A raft would be by yourself.
How's he going to get back?
I'm going to ask him that. Okay,
is he still on it right now?
He's finishing up on the 23rd or so. He just went through Memphis. He's almost done.
And he's by himself.
He's by himself.
Ooh,
yeah,
man, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, he's had people stop by and get on and check stuff out and all this kind of thing. Every town he stops at, they have little. They all know he's coming down, so they have meetings and introduce him and whatnot. It's been a real good deal for Spare Key, but going through lock and dams with a little thing and having all these big tugboats going around you, both north and south or whatever it is, it's pretty freaky stuff.
And I'm sure you can't control a raft very quickly, like, to get out of the way.
He's had a whole lot of issues. He's like me. He's a duct tape kind of guy, you know. So he's going to be our second guest. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ready, buddy? Be back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Stick around, guys.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Hey, Strewman here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod. Bring your shotgun. Bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at mckaysdodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved. Made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
What does that Ski-Doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome! Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that Ski-Doo feeling during our Yellow Tag event. On now, visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,500 off select 2020 Summit A50 E-Tech models. Offer ends October 31st, 2020. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
T-Mobile for Business knows saving time and money is important for your business. That's why we're introducing Microsoft 365 on us, now included in our best business plans. With Office apps, Microsoft Teams, cloud storage, and more, Microsoft 365 on us gives you the tools you need to run your business. Stop by a T-Mobile store today. Qualifying plan required. Contactless activate. One license per line. Max 2 per account. Third-party terms apply. See T-Mobile.com for plan details.
Mojo would swallow things whole, a chicken carcass, a bird nest, and assorted stones and sticks. After surgery, Mojo had skin issues. He was constantly itching and scratching, chewing the hair right off of his legs.
DinoVite.com.
On the DinoVite, all of these symptoms disappeared.
DinoVite is nutrition.
If you love your dog, you need to put him on DinoVite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
Hi, this is Kate Bodiger, Executive Director of Reach for Resources. I want to thank everyone who made our Cackle and Spur Charity Pheasant Hunt such a success at Sand Pine Pheasants and Gold Meadow Hunting Preserve. With your support, we raised over $61,000 to help those with disabilities and mental health conditions reach their full potential. We also want to extend our sincere thanks to Bob FM for their generous partnership. Please join us next year, and in the meantime, check out more about Reach for Resources at reachforresources.org.
It's Neil for Zero Res. If you're like me, you've spent a lot of extra time living in your home these last few months. I think we both can agree it's time to call Zero Res. And why Zero Res when there's so many options? How about a 4.9 rating on Google with over 9,300 real customer reviews? Call today and ask for the Bob FM special. Get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $149 and take $50 off your air duct cleaning this month, too. Call 952-ZERO-RES or book online at Zero Res Minnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Man, Strew Man here. Mark Lukey, Sam Oftedal, Brandon behind the glass. And who showed up? Mark Fisher. Mark Fisher's on next with the boys. He's on from 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Listen to him as well. And I'll tell you what, our first guest is a regular. We have him on probably 4 times a year, give or take, because he's smarter than we are. We always talk about
that's
that as
true.
Well. It is true. Rob Dreisling, welcome to the 4 Outdoorsman, sir.
Great to be here, guys. If I'm so smart, why am I not out hunting right now?
Well, I tell you what, it was a little cool today, but it would have been nice to be in the woods today, I think, because when you're, I don't care what you're doing, if you're grouse hunting, pheasant, whatever, but just to move around, it would have been the perfect day to do that.
Certainly the trail cameras are showing a lot of deer activity, and I saw on some social media some nice big deer come through this weekend, so there's some good hunting out there.
Do you have trail cameras out yourself anyplace?
You know, it's funny, since the last time we talked about these trail cams
yeah.
that use the cellular technology, and I got one of those from Moultrie, and we just put it up this weekend at my dad's place. We're having a good time playing around with that, and he's got a bunch of them up, and in fact, I think I'm going to print a bunch of pictures from some of them next week.
You know, I'll tell you what, that's my son Mike has, he's got 125 acres or so in North Branch, and he only had one trail camera. I just got it last year, and he's building a pole barn and doing lots of things. And he only had one trail camera, the old kind where you have to go out to the woods, pull out a chip, I guess, and go put it in your computer and da-da-da-da-da. Well, he had some young guys help him do some work last week, and they negotiated how much he's going to pay him. So I'll tell you what, instead of taking the cash, how about if I let you deer hunt this year on the property? These kids went nuts. And they took no cash, and now he's got eight trail cameras on his property out there, and that's a win-win situation. So the guys are out there having a good time, and Mike got some work done for free. But one of those cameras is that cell phone camera, and he said it's so much fun because all of a sudden it clicks, and you look, and it's stuff happening all the time. That must be cool.
Yeah, they're really handy. And it's my dad's got a real long place, so it's nice you can put the cellular camera on the far end. He doesn't have to walk down there and swap out the chip, you know.
Cool. Where's that property?
Southeast Minnesota, between Winona and Houston.
Well, I'll tell you what, since we're talking about Southeast Minnesota, one of the things I had on my list before we text each other this morning about topics, of course, was that black bear that was shot someplace, and I believe it was Southeast Minnesota. Am I correct?
Absolutely. It was just south of Lewiston.
Now, that's a big deal, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I wrote a blog about it, and I thought, oh, man, this baby's going to go viral, man. We're going to crash the website with this one. And I was shocked at how little publicity it got. And it got a little more this week. We put it in the print version, and I filled it out a little more. But yeah, that's a really big deal. It's only the second time in modern history that a black bear's been legally harvested down there. You know, that's hundreds of miles from traditional bear hunting country in Minnesota, and I think it's a sign that bears are starting to expand into that part of the state.
You know, if it's only happened like the second time in recent history that a bear's been shot in the southeastern part of Minnesota, why would someone get a bear hunting license? I mean, that's
a solid question, Stru. Yeah. And it's because trail cams are the reason.
Okay.
I think, you know, 20 years ago without trail cams, you know, this bear would have come and gone or whatever. No one would have noticed it. But this guy, yeah, he's got some hunting property for deer, and he noticed this bear hanging around consistently, and he thought, you know, maybe I'll give it a run. He looked into it, checked out the regs, bought a no-quota zone tag. That part of the state is part of the no-quota zone, and went out and did it right. I talked to the conservation officer in the area. He said, this is all legal. So I think it's kind of a neat story.
Yeah, it is.
What does a no-quota zone mean exactly?
Well, so basically you've got the northeastern mm-hmm. portion of the state where they've got fairly strict regulations on the number of bears that can be taken.
Yep.
And then there's the rest of the state, which is kind of regarded as, well, this isn't really bear country, and so we're not necessarily trying to establish a population here. So if there's a bear and someone wants to shoot it and they buy the right tag, they can do that. I'm summarizing, but that's kind of the philosophy.
You know what? I would imagine no matter where this takes place, now that a bear has been shot down there, legally shot, and it may happen again, and it probably will happen more as time goes on, there's always going to be somebody who's going to rain on the hunter's parade and say, "This, we don't want this happening in the southeast part of Minnesota."
I'm sure there's going to be some of that, and I'm looking at maybe writing a bigger, broader story about this, because it looks like there's bears now in western Wisconsin, southwest Wisconsin, maybe even a couple kicking around northeast Iowa. And, yeah, well, how's the general public going to feel about that if people start hunting them maybe before the population gets very large?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we have a hunting shack up in Ely, Minnesota. You know all about that. And
yep.
All the years I've hunted up there, probably a good 40 years I've been up there. I've only seen two bear in my entire life up there while hunting. I've seen them across the road every once in a while, maybe 7-8 times in those 40 years, but only two bear ever in the woods while I was hunting.
They're very reclusive animals. They run mostly nocturnal. I've been to the Boundary Waters 20 times. I've never seen one in the B-Dub.
Yeah.
So I know what you're driving at.
My son, Mike, we're talking about the BWCA. You just came back again this year, I believe, and I've been up there a number of times with my kids. And I've told this story on the air more than once, but well, first time we took our kids, my son Joe, Mike, and Nick to the Boundary Waters, and I forget who was with us, and my son Joe was scared to death. And he literally, you know, you got to hang your food up, and you got to hang your fear. He's afraid of the bear, and you got to hang your food up and all that. So we hung the cooler way up in the tree, and my son, and there was a root that was under that cooler. So my son Joe took a shovel, dug beneath the root, and then put about 4 or 5 big rocks about 6 feet away so the bear would trip on that root and hit his head on the rock.
Wow.
Like a cartoon?
This kid had all planned out, boy. That's a true story. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny. Hey, since you're talking about things not being normal in the state of Minnesota, like the black bear in southeastern Minnesota, I think the mule deer thing is a great story. But that's not the first time that's happened either, right?
No, it's not. And that was Tim Spielman's column this week, and I'll let folks read that in more detail. But, yeah, a guy named Reed Mays shot I think it was a four-corn or 2x2 is in mule deer parlance, on October 6th near Detroit Lakes.
Yeah.
Again, that's legal. I think this is a guy who's bow hunting, had seen it in the area, and I believe he checked with only a 19-year-old kid, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And checked with the CO. Yeah, in both of these stories, I like the fact that these guys took the time to read the regs, make sure this was all legal before they proceeded. So,
yeah,
kind of a neat story.
He had seen that a number of times on the trail camera. I think this is only the second time a mule deer's been harvested or killed in the state of Minnesota, but the first one, a few years back, was more eastern than this one that was just recently shot, and I think that one had some brain issues, so it probably had no idea where it was going. That's why it was in Minnesota.
Yeah, they wander a lot. You know, I was coming back from South Dakota once pheasant hunting, and just about at the Minnesota border saw some pronghorn. So, I mean, you know, these animals, they got 4 legs, they're fast, they can cover some ground.
Yeah, they can.
I believe like 2 or 3 years ago, there was a mule deer shot in Wisconsin, too.
Not out of the realm of possibility. I don't recall that, but I believe it.
Yeah, I think it was like three, maybe 4 years ago, but I remember reading the article on it that it was shot in Wisconsin.
It was
like
in a zoo? Or
like central Wisconsin.
You know, it's funny how things change. We've all lived here most of our lives, I think. I've lived here most of my life, and I've seen almost everything that flies or swims or runs through the woods. And the first, I'll never forget the first time I saw a big...
Bigfoot?
Bigfoot. No, oh. A big bird. I was in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. I was selling some lakeshore property there. My wife and Diana was with me, and I saw something that I thought was unreal. I stopped, backed up, and I saw those sandhill cranes on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
First time I saw them on the ground was about 6 years ago. Now it's not a big deal. They're all over the place. I mean, you could see them in the air, sort of. You see a little dot up there making noise. But I saw them.
Ribeye in the sky.
Ribeye in the sky. Now, they're sitting on the ground.
That's one of the coolest sounds out of doors. And they definitely, those birds are expanding. And I think we're going to be talking about more hunting of sandhill cranes in Minnesota and Wisconsin in the next few years, too. Some of my bird watching friends don't like that. But, hey, if they're expanding and, you know, there's some farmers out there that don't like them a whole lot, I think we can have some limited seasons on these birds.
I think
we can.
Because,
like you say, they're good eating.
Well, you take me sandhill crane hunting, I'll take you mushroom hunting. I'm having a Diane and I just started doing that, not on purpose, but now we're kind of hooked. But looking at it's kind of a fun deal. So I'm kind of hooked on mushrooms. I'm gonna go to class here in a couple of weeks in Rice Lake. Go ahead, Sam.
Rob, have you ever tried sandhill crane?
Yes, I have. I hunted them. I shot one out in North Dakota once.
What? Well,
20 plus years ago.
Yeah. How does it taste?
It was delicious. Yeah, it tastes like red meat because it is very, very red. And it looks like a big, when you skin it out, it looks like a big red turkey.
I'm not skinning nothing, Robbie boy. Hey, I'll tell you what. Hey, listen, let's talk about the Congressman Colin Peterson. I'm not sure which way to go on this. I know we've had Colin Peterson on, a congressman from the state of Minnesota, a couple of times. I'm not sure why over the last 5 or 6 years. But he's in your paper again right now as well because he's introducing a bill called the Landowner Easement Rights Act, and that is going to – his suggestion, what he's trying to get done, is place a 50-year limit on conservation easements and give owners, the existing owners, the option to renegotiate, renew, or buy out of that permanent easement. Number one, why? And number two, that can't happen because that would be setting a precedent, I think. Tell me what your thoughts are and explain this – potential law to us, if you would.
Well, very quickly, I hope it never passes. Yeah. You know, the why, you may have heard there's an election in 16 days. have you guys heard about it?
I heard about it, yeah.
See some ads.
And, I mean, clearly, I think Colin is trying to make a play, you know, point out to the farmers he's on their side. This is a play for the ag vote again. I generally like Colin. There's not a lot of legislators in Congress who do a pretty good job of trying to bridge both sides and work with both parties. And Colin's one of those people. So I appreciate that about him. He does not like permanent easements. You guys weren't around during the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program era in the early 2000s. CREP 1 was a big deal, 100,000 acres. It was a very successful program in the Minnesota River Valley. Permanent easements, those acres, those easements got bought up in an amazing short amount of time. It was such a great idea that everybody said, let's do it again with another 100,000 acres. Well, then Big Ag stepped in and said, whoa, wait a minute with this permanent easement stuff. Permanent easements means this land can never have fertilizer on it again. It can never be seeded again, et cetera, et cetera. So Colin stepped in and said, I don't like the permanent easement option. And it was pretty controversial, you guys. I wrote some columns about it. Colin was not happy with me. There were a few years there he wouldn't talk to me. So Colin is always, you know, he doesn't like permanent easements. I think he said it in Spielman's article. He flat out said it. I don't like permanent easements. Now, you know, in this case, these are easements that were purchased with Wetlands Loan Act dollars in the 60s and 70s. This is taxpayer money that secured a contract with these landowners. I think maybe some duck stamp dollars got put into this.
Yeah, and it was not
go ahead.
It was not eminent domain or anything. They voluntarily transferred the property.
No, this was voluntary.
All right.
Yeah, that's why I get kind of worked up about this.
Yeah.
A good source on this would be John Devney from Delta Waterfall. He's one of the few people that kind of went on record with Spielman about it. John making the case, you know, some of what Collins, he's making some legitimate points about, hey, let's make sure these maps are accurate and that landowners are not, you know, there's not some takings of even more land than what was agreed to. But, you know, these are contracts. And a lot of this land shouldn't be farmed, right? It's highly erodible or it's underwater. So, no, I'm not interested in seeing this pass. I don't think it's going to pass. I think this was something that was authored during an election season to try to, you know, generate some headlines and some goodwill with farmers out there.
Mark's related to a farmer. What do you think, Mark?
Well, I think to dive into the politics a little bit more, so Trump won his district by 20 points last election, and he's kind of held power because of the ag community. He's known as a big, you know, ag guy, and that's as that part of the state is turning more red, I think I'm sure this is a play to secure that ag vote and make it more competitive because, you know, a serious Republican hasn't run against him in a while. So I think this is all politics, unfortunately, for outdoorsmen.
Yeah, judging from the volume of ads I'm seeing for that race, it must be pretty darn close.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you're spot on, Mark.
Not very often.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam. All right. You know, this is – it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think there's a chance in hell this could ever pass because of exactly the same things you were thinking. And these farmers voluntarily either donated or sold the land to, you know, the state of Minnesota, whatever it was, and the money that we had in the pot was used specifically for this, and everybody benefits, and all of a sudden he's coming back and saying, we got to change this. It's nothing more than a political ploy. And I remember we had him on the air a couple of times for good reasons because we had a good relationship with him, and I think the outdoors people had a good relationship with him, and they probably still do, but there's not a chance in hell this could ever pass. Just impossible.
Well, I'd like to think it won't pass. And, you know, I don't want to beat up on Colin too much because I do think he's been a friend to sportsmen on a lot of other issues, and I think he's, you know, done a good job representing that district. And no one knows ag policy. No one knows how to write a farm bill like Colin Peterson. I mean, there's a lot of institutional knowledge in that man. So on other issues, you know, I think he's been good. But I hope this bill never passes.
Yeah. Well, let's finish this up with a couple of things. Like, how about your hunting experiences in 2020? What do you have going on?
Well, it was the early antlerless hunt in the southeast this past weekend, along with the youth hunt. We didn't. Everything's moving at night, so we didn't see anything. My dad's place is up on a ridge. I think, you know, Dad feeds them at night, and then they go live in the valley by day. It's very frustrating. But anyway,
yeah.
I did it out last weekend to the Gary Clancy Wildlife Management Area. That was our first official pheasant hunt out there.
Yeah.
Again, it was a bust. We didn't flush anything. There was a lot of standing corn around it. But it's a beautiful piece of property, and I think later in the season it's going to be excellent, and in coming years it'll be awesome, too.
You know, I'll tell you about all the things that that Clancy has brought to the outdoors in his writing and speaking and lobbying, all kinds of things. I bet it was kind of emotional for you to stand on that piece of property.
Yeah, it was. I think it would have been more emotional if we got a bird. but it was a lot of fun talking with Lee, his son-in-law, and his brothers-in-laws, and they're just sharing a lot of stories. One of Gary's dogs, Recon, is still alive. They bought Recon out, a Llewellyn Setter. And it was just great fun watching that dog work, but it was almost hard to get emotional because it was just too beautiful a day. We were working too hard.
Good for you, buddy. All right, tell you what, we'll stay in touch, buddy, and we'll keep tabs on the Colin Peterson thing, and we'll see what's happening there. But we have something coming in a couple of weeks, so get out there and vote, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. It's always good to be here.
No, you're a fun
good
guy.
Luck.
You're a fun guy. All right, take care.
Yeah.
Yep. Bye bye. You bet. He's a good guy. Rob Dreisline, Outdoor News, and. If you don't have the Outdoor News or subscribe, do so because it's well worth reading. We'll be right back with Eric Misch. You want to be socially distant? Well, Devil's Lake has nearly 170,000 acres. It's been rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of the United States, and for good reasons. Yep, the fishing itself is Devil's Lake's biggest lure. You get that? But what also keeps bringing vacationers back are the friendly people, the service, the hotels, the restaurants, the outdoor opportunities, the city itself. Hey, trust Struman on this one. Bring your fishing rod. Bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
There's nothing like a good cup of coffee to start your morning off right. My family and I choose Operator Coffee, not only because it's packed full of flavor, but it's roasted for the brave and the bold. Portions of each bag are donated to a few different nonprofit organizations that bring veterans into the great outdoors. Operator Coffee offers 6 different small batch roasted flavors. Whether you like light, medium, dark, ground, or whole bean, they have it all. Check it out at operatorcoffee.com. Oh, did I mention it's roasted in Minnesota? Operator Coffee.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved. Made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Power Lodge is the official power sports dealer for the Four Outdoorsmen. Open water season is winding down, but that means it's the best time to get great deals on new 2020 boats in stock. New 2021 Lund, Alumacraft, Lowe, Ranger, and Godfrey boats are arriving weekly, which means it's time to move out the 2020s. Save thousands on new 2020 boats during our model year-end sales event. Going on now at all Power Lodge locations, Brainerd, Ramsey, and Onamia.
Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to smoke.
Take a brief train ride and trick-or-treat. Get a family pack to Minnesota Transportation Museum's Train Shop Trick-or-Treat. A family can go for just $25.
Deals on radio. Deals on radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
The Four Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what, before we get to Eric Misch, I'll tell you this is going to be a lot of fun. This guy is a hoot. He's got one heck of a story to tell. Let's talk about our sponsors first, Mark.
Yeah, let's talk about our sponsors, Power Lodge in Ramsey. I dropped my boat off there this week. You can still get your boat in there. It was very busy, but they will take care of you. There's no place I trust more with my boat than Power Lodge. BK Outdoors or Katz Covers. Hard water is around the corner. Go out and get yourself a Katz cover. Don't lose your stuff down the fishing hole. I've done it, and it's terrible.
Yes, we have.
Also, Clam Outdoors. Clam Outdoors has everything you need. They're celebrating their 40th year of the pop-up ice shelters. That's incredible. We'll have to get Dave Gens on again and talk about that.
We will.
And who else do we have?
Well, it's cold out, which means winter's coming. So if you're looking for a four-wheel drive vehicle, check out McKay's Chrysler Jeep and Dodge at Waite Park. Ask for Travis. Tell him the Four Outdoorsmen sent you. And also, if you're looking for an ice castle, bring it up to Travis. He might have another dealer that can hook you up. And along with that, we got Operator Coffee.
Should we sing our jingle?
Sure.
Operator Coffee, it's for you.
Drink it
in
the outdoors
and have a cup or two.
Yeah. Hang on, Eric. Eric, if you want to hang up, go ahead. These guys are nuts. This is crazy.
Actually, I want that again. Can you give me that again so we get
Five,
it clean?
5, 6, 7, 8.
Operator Coffee, it's for you.
Drink
go
it
outdoors and have a cup or two.
That's enough of that. Hey, I'll tell you what, in Devil's Lake Tourism, Struman here for Devil's Lake Tourism. Just go to Devil's Lake, have a great time. We fish there, we hunt there, we have a great time. It's a bucket list trip. Devil's Lake Tourism. I'll tell you what, Eric.
Devil's Lake.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's for you.
Sorry.
No. Then listen, this guy's a big shot. Eric Misch, I'll tell you what. This is Steve Strasinski, Struman of the Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks for taking the time. I got to tell you this before we start telling your story. When I'm reading, he's had an article in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, maybe like 7, 8 weeks in a row, and I've read them all, and I'm thinking, this guy's off the beaten path a little bit. And I talked to your wife, and I said, you know what? I think your husband is one sandwich short of a picnic basket, and she did not disagree. I can tell.
I would imagine that she did not disagree. No, and I got to say that as much as I enjoyed your singing, I'm glad there's not enough room for all of you on my raft.
Eric Misch, he's with the Spare Key organization. It's a nonprofit organization, raises a lot of money, hopefully, for people who have financial issues as a result of medical complications and all of that. Do me a favor, and then we're going to talk about your trip, because that's what I love to hear. That's a lot of fun. But Who is Eric Misch? What is your background, or how did you get involved with Spare Key?
Yeah. So first, I'm gonna correct the pronunciation of my last name because it's river. It sounds more like fishy than it does. It's Mishy.
All right.
And that's okay. My mother would scold me if I didn't make sure that we got the name right. My background before I became executive director of Spare Key is I spent 35 years in government politics, and so this trip is kind of my penance for all those years in politics. And so,
yeah.
You know, my background really has been pretty varied. You know, you may recall back in the late 1990s, there was a Titanic exhibit in St. Paul.
Yes.
I was the guy that made sure that we had an opportunity to blow the whistle of the Titanic for the first time since the ship sank. You know, I've had the opportunity to work for mayors. I was the chief of staff of the U.S. Senate. So I've been able to do all these cool, wonderful things in government politics. And all of that eventually led me to become the executive director of Spare Key. It'll be 9 years this February.
Good for you. Good for you.
And so it's, you know, for me, Spare Key is kind of a continuation of public service in the same way that my time in government politics was. And so, you know, that's, I got a couple of kids, a great wife, and I'm on a raft on the river.
Well, who are you raising money for? Be specific if you could, because I tried to explain a little bit, but be more specific.
Yeah, so Spare Key is a Minnesota-based nonprofit that provides financial assistance to families that are dealing with significant medical crises. So what we do is we help them pay their mortgage, their rent, their car payment, utilities, medical bills, God forbid, funeral expenses. The goal ultimately is to help families avoid adding a financial crisis to the significant medical crises that they're already dealing with. So that's what we do. We are currently registered to serve families in 49 states. When I get to Baton Rouge, when I get off the raft, I will go to the Secretary of State's office and give them a red folder that has the paperwork I've been carrying with me down the river to complete the 50-state registration with Louisiana.
Boy, be proud of yourself. That's quite an accomplishment. I'll tell you what. So you're raising awareness as much as anything right now with your raft. It's called the SS Hail Mary, and your trip is called Hope on the Water. And you're raising awareness for Spare Key, and I imagine you're getting a lot of publicity on the way down. Has it taken you longer than you anticipated because so many people want to talk to you?
You know, I would say it's actually taken about as long as I think by the time I get to Baton Rouge, it will be about as long as I had told my wife in a 15-page memo I gave to her when I said I wanted to do this trip.
Does that work?
You know, sometimes I have to explain myself a lot. So, so I would say, you know, the piece of the trip that took the most time was the part above the locks and dams. I had to go through 26 locks and dams,
mm-hmm.
and that process, and I want to emphasize, I'm not a boater. I don't know anything about the Mississippi River. This is not something that comes naturally to me, but the amount of time that it took to get through those 26 locks and dams is really what takes the most amount of time. Once you get past them, the current increases substantially. And then you don't have to, you're no longer waiting, you know, as much as 3 or 4 hours to go through an individual lock and dam. So, you know, you had mentioned, you know, obviously we're raising money and awareness for Spare Key.
Right.
You know, but what, when I made the decision to do this trip, it was based on the notion that it couldn't just be about raising money. And so we came up with this message. We call it Hope on the River, and our website is hopeontheriver.com, and people can go there. They can find out about Spare Key. They can find out about the trip. I'm a couple of days behind on my blog that I do on that page, simply because I kind of lost track of time here. But, you know, that page shares a lot of the details about why it is we're doing this trip, where it is that I've gone. You know, and if people want to make a donation, they go to hopeontheriver.com and they can do that too.
You know, I'll tell you what, where was the happy hour when you made this decision to do this trip? You had to be sharing cocktails with somebody. This is quite a journey for somebody who does not have the experience. And by the way, I had a chance to go on a Red Wing Eagle tour yesterday with Brian Clawitter, and we went from Red Wing down to Lake Pepin and all that. And by coincidence, when you went through Red Wing, he was on the river, and he saw you going down the river with an escort, you know, with some flashing lights and all of that. And he said he knows one of the police officers there. He said, what's going on? And you went right by him, and he waved. I don't know if you waved, but he said, say hi to Eric. What a coincidence.
No, when I left St. Paul, the first stop was in Red Wing, where River Valley Power Sport Marine took me out of the water, brought me to their operations. It was like watching a pit crew at an Indy 500 race. And they put a kicker motor on that Mercury donated. They tuned up my 32-year-old Nissan two-stroke that was with the pontoon when I bought it. They put on a depth finder and some radios and some lights and stuff, and they did remarkable work. And so the next day, then they put me back in the water, or actually that afternoon. I shouldn't even say that next day. That afternoon put me in the water. And, you know, I was off and running.
You know, you were learning as you went down the river, being the first time and not being experienced with boats. Tell us about some of the things that really surprised you, that concerned you in your 1,700 miles.
Yeah. First, what I would tell you, and it's not what surprised me, it is what has impressed me and has energized me throughout this trip. It's just the remarkable kindness of people every place I've gone. The people who run the locks and dams, the public employees who manage those facilities could not be more gracious, more amazing, more helpful, and more courteous. People who have been willing to help me complete strangers. You know, the things that have surprised me about the river is, you know, in my mind's eye, I had this notion that I was going to drift leisurely down the river.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? Got an old straw hat, yeah.
Yeah, those days are long, long past anybody who could do that. The second part was how wide this river can get, right? You know, again, to me, in my mind's eye, my association with rivers are, you know, these things that are kind of like St. Paul, right? They're kind of these winding banks, and they're, you know, very calm and gracious and there are places like that, but there are also places where the river runs extraordinarily fast. It is extremely wide. And if you're out there, you know, for example, Lake Pepin, I spent 6 hours trying to get through Lake Pepin. I don't know how many times I nearly capsized on Lake Pepin.
Wow.
So every day it's, you know, I think I wrote one of my last columns to the Pioneer Press. Every day is remarkably the same in that it's always different.
Yeah, I wrote that down as a quote, yeah.
Yeah, and that has been the case. You know, today my brother and I went from Lake Providence, and we got to Vicksburg, where we're at tonight. And, you know, it was a 50-mile trip, and, you know, the previous day was about 50 miles, and it felt like it was 100 miles because of all the towboat traffic we dealt with. Today, it was like a walk in the park. You know, tomorrow is a 72-mile journey from Vicksburg to Vidalia, which is right across the river from Natchez. And then from there, we go 50 miles, and we tie up literally in a swamp overnight. Before we begin the last track to Baton Rouge.
You know, you talked about in the article some of the mechanical issues you ran into and some of the problems you have. One of those was, I know you had almost flooded this thing a couple of times, you almost swamped it a couple of times, but you had a pontoon that was leaking, and at first it was leaking just a little bit, and all of a sudden you get to one point where that pontoon was half filled with water. How'd you get that fixed?
It's not fixed. not fixed. No. Well, you know, the challenge was, you know, at one point there was, and I got a bunch of people who have helped me on this trip and continue to help me on this trip. One of the guys
who has helped me from the very beginning, is a guy by the name of Gus Gaspardo, who is the president and owner of Paddleford Riverboats, right, on Harriet Island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Another guy is by the name of Lee Nelson, who is the president of Upper River Services. And these guys, I will tell you that this trip would never happen without them. But, you know, conversations took place about, you know, do we know where the leak are? You know, can we figure it out? And, you know, what do we do about it? And the problem is that, you know, every time you take this thing out of the water, I mean, it's a 52-year-old rotted out pontoon deck that's got a Home Depot garden shed built on top of it. Right? And so every time you take it out, you're putting more stress on it. You're putting in, and so I just finally decided, you know, we got to come up with some solution that allows me to pump the water as we're going. Because what was happening was, if I was out on the water for 8 or 9 hours, I didn't really have any place where I could literally pull over and shove the pump down into those tubes and get the water out.
Yeah.
And so in two specific locations, one in Rockford, Illinois, and the other in St. Charles, I had been on the water for like 8 or 9 hours, and when I pulled into the marinas there, my starboard side was so far underwater that I was within, I'd say, you know, minute or maybe a couple of minutes of that tube being so far underwater I couldn't access the spigot in order to get the hose down to pump the water out. So when I was in Grafton, Gus drove down from the Twin Cities along with a guy named Bob Deck, and they fashioned a system that allows us to literally every hour as we're going down the river, as I bend over it and I slide a plastic tube down into the pontoons and I pump the water out.
Wow. I tell you what, that's a lot of work. I tell you what, you know, we're talking with Eric Mishy with Spare Key. We can talk a little bit more about that as we wrap this up in a couple of minutes. But you said one of your nutritional mainstays was ramen noodles, but you might be excited. You would have been excited if you were with me yesterday, because I made for our trip Spam and pineapple on a skewer. Boy, I tell you, that was a great snack for yesterday. I'll tell you what's going to
happen. I've had a couple of breakfasts that included Spam mushrooms, some leftover MRE processed cheese and package pouches, and some powdered eggs.
Wow, that's a and have you lost weight?
I'm going to say I have, just because it will help my vanity and my ego to think that I have.
One last question for you. This, again, Eric Mishy of the Spare Key. What's going to happen to the raft when you're done? You're leaving it there? You're bringing it back home? What?
So that's a great question. So right now the plan is I got one of my board members who's actually driving a trailer down. I think he's coming down tomorrow. We're going to pull the raft out of the water in Baton Rouge, and then we are going to store it at a location that we've determined and then figure out what we're going to do with the raft. The problem is we wouldn't be able to trailer the raft back on a pontoon trailer. I mean, it would blow up. It was barely built to be on the river, much less, you know, be on the highway. So my preference would be to bring it back. We would like to have it at our gala that we're looking to do, and have it there as a kind of a central theme of that. I've listed it on Craigslist. If somebody wants to pay $10,000 for it, I'm happy to sell it to them, and then they can take it out of the water in Baton Rouge and own a classic garden shed pontoon raft.
Well, I tell you, we're going to wrap it. I tell you what, Eric, I appreciate you being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. Anybody has any questions, go to sparekey.org, I believe, and you can talk to Sarah, who I'm in communication with, and Eric's going to be back in town. We'd love to have you on again when you get back and BS and talk more about the trip and Spare Key. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Thanks for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We're pulling for you. And have a safe trip on the way back, all right?
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Be safe out there. He's a riot, boy. Yep. Anyway, thanks for listening to the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We've got to wrap it up. And the boys are on next. But in the meantime, Mark's got to tell you something.
Yeah. Thanks for sending in shout-outs quick. Jesse Cascanimi, Bill Katz, Craig Rudolph Jr. Get outside and make some memories.